Blessed, the Prodigal Daughter, coming up next on this special edition of The Right Stuff. Welcome to this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to showcase another debut author today, A.L. Bryant, and she is the author of the book, Bless the Prodigal Daughter. When I first saw this book last year, myself and Peter Younghusband from Perspective by Peter, we were like, oh my gosh, do you see this cover? The cover is killer. It really draws you into what this book all about. And particularly when you see a picture of a rather odd looking woman with a vine of flowers between her face with one eye human and one eye creature-like, and you hear the term blessed, you're thinking, I don't think she's blessed. But that is what drew us into wanting to highlight this book. But I didn't get a chance to do it last year, so I am so glad that A.L. Bryant is taking time out of her schedule to be with me today as we get close to the end of 2020 and we can highlight her book today. Actually, her book starts New Year's Eve of 2021, and with the way it started, it's almost as if she knew that 2020 was going to be a really odd year. So I'm really excited to showcase the book today. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of Blessed, the Prodigal Daughter on Amazon.com. or wherever books are sold. I want to thank all of you for your support of my newest release, The Butterscotch Bride. It's available on Amazon exclusively. I've been really pleased with the response that I've received about the book. A number of people have contacted me saying they really enjoyed it, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was a different sort of work for me as I wrote about pre-Civil War customs and things from an enslaved point of view, but I try to always add that sweet element of romance to it, and I think that I did okay, so I really appreciate your guys' support on that. We want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support of PJC Media. To find out how they can help you your readership, go to christianbookclub.net, browse through, and see how they can help you. We want to thank our partner, Radio App, for their support of PJC Media as well. If you are an author with Christian fiction or nonfiction books, you may want to consider uploading your books to the Radio App. Go to radioapp.com and find out how you can get on the list, so when the app is viable and ready, you'll be able to upload your books, and whatever sales you get from this app be going toward you as a royalty as well. Lots of good stuff happening with Radio App, so make sure you go ahead, go to that website today. We also want to thank our Patreon support team. Our Patreon support, we just started this year, and they've been so helpful and just such a blessing to me as we work to bring Christian fiction to the masses all over the world. We've been showcasing Christian authors for the past 7 years, and I'm very thankful that this is what the Lord has me to do. Showcase Christian authors all over the world from different genres, different backgrounds, different faiths, evangelical faith denominations. And I hope he has me do it until he calls me home or till he has me do something else. If you want to weigh in, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
Christian authors and writers, Welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and
Hi, my name is Kevin Newsom, and I am the host of the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast. I am an author, musician, and worship pastor. On my podcast, we talk art and entertainment in all its forms: music, writing, movies, art, and more. Join us each week as we wrestle with two questions. What is the Christian artist's responsibility when creating art? And what is the Christian consumer's responsibility when consuming art? You'll find the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and in full video on YouTube. Go to www.pressepic.com for more information. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and in your podcast app, and I'll see you soon.
Hi, and welcome back to this special edition of The Right Stuff. The Queen is here. We're talking today to my guest co-host and contributor, A.L. Bryant. She is the author of the Christian suspense thriller, Blessed, The Prodigal Daughter. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I was reading this book today, and I got to tell you, it reads like someone who actually knows how to use the gift of words. And it's surprising because this is A.L.'s debut novel, but it really doesn't read like one. So it's really, really exciting to be able to showcase her on the show today. And like I said before the break, how I wanted to do it last year, but I just didn't have time to do it. And she's with me today. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, A.L. Bryant. A.L., how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on. And may I say, by the way, what you're doing here is just amazing, and it's needed. It's very needed to get Christian fiction out there.
You know, I have to agree with you because so many people only have one view of what Christian fiction is. They often think Christian fiction is Amish fiction. And like I told someone, I've showcased Amish fiction on this show, and I've also showcased an Amish author on this show, but that's not the only form of Christian fiction that's out there. And particularly, I'm an advocate for edgy, speculative fiction like what you're doing, and I also advocate for all sorts of Christian fiction that is not defined in one set of parameters, but in many parameters. And I know with you, you probably had some criticism with the book because it's just natural to this game of Christian fiction. Like, oh, why are you writing something like that? And why do you have to do it this way? You kind of go like, because I want to. That's why I did it. You know, go figure that. So, yeah, so A.L., especially the cover of your book, people may go, wow, what is this book about? That cover is scrumptious. That's the only way I could describe it. I don't want to say scary because it's not scary. And what I mean by scrumptious, like, it just lights up all sorts of sensory output for me. The sight, I want to touch it because the flowers look like you could just reach out and touch the book. Her eyes are extremely compelling, and she looks beautiful and ferocious at the same time. And you're like, oh, my gosh, bless the prodigal daughter. What did she do? Where did she go when she left the phone? You know, all sorts of good things are happening. But it actually is more like a sci-fi type of story with that supernatural element included. So there's a lot going on in Bless the Prodigal Daughter that I want to definitely get into. Before I do that, I always want to take time to peel back the veil so our listeners can know a little bit about who you are. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Well, I always feel like there's not much to tell, but I was raised in St. Petersburg, Florida. I absolutely love my hometown. I left it, though, as soon as I could because I love traveling. If I could be in a different place every month, I would. And I've been very blessed to go to several different countries, even live in a few. And other than traveling, I love video games and every genre of literature. I do not think that we should be restricted to anything when we write as Christian writers because we have a lot to work with. And as far as, like, my home life, you know, I was raised in a very spiritual family. They were not strict, nor were they denominational or anything like that, but they had a real strong love for God. And that's where I get all of my, inspiration from is my family and God itself and how they relate it to God. And because of that, I am super close to all of my family and to my wonderful husband as well.
I like how you said that you were super close to your family, because that is such an anchor for so many authors, is having that familial connection. I also liked how you said that Christians should be open to all sorts of genres. And I agree with that, of course, but we also know that some people do have preferences that they prefer to read in. And I always make sure I reiterate that, because you may not want to read, let's say, a steampunk book, or you may not want to read a horror book. Some people may not want to read that. And like one lady said, I did an article about this some time ago, and one lady said, you know, Parker, I live in rainbows and unicorns. And I said, that's okay. It's what you want to read. It's totally okay. You know, but that's why I'm a huge advocate about not trying to put a narrow definition on Christian fiction, that I think it's a wide plethora of ideas. And as this show has done for the past 7 years, we've shown that Christians write about all sorts of things from all sorts of avenues and from all sorts of viewpoints. So it's really exciting to have you on the show in the same vein of letting people know, here's my Christian fiction, this is how I view it. And what a number of people said, I was going through reviews, a number of people, particularly an atheist who read your book, she made the comment, like, even though I'm an atheist, I really enjoyed this story. And she came at it in such a way that I was able to enjoy it without going, oh, it's too preachy. Now, of course, she's going to have issues with it because she is an atheist, but she really enjoyed the story. And would she have had that same reaction to another story? We don't know. But I thought that was just a testament to your wordsmith skills, that even someone who does not share your worldview can still enjoy the story. And I think that's worthy of mentioning, AL. I really thought that was worthy of mentioning. Like, you need to know, hey, I am good at this. I know how to write, you know? So we talked a little about yourself, how you have a really close family connection. And let's go into what made you say, you know what, I am going to write this first book. What was that journey to writing look like for you?
I have always loved writing. I can't even remember when I started writing. I can't even remember what got me into it, but I just love writing and reading. And from an early age, that kind of like, it was fostered in me as well, because sometimes I would get in trouble. Sometimes, you know, I was rewarded. So I remember when I was when I was really young, I actually was able to go to a prestigious writing club, and my family was very proud and everything. But at the same, on the flip side, you know, I would be handing out my little novella during class and getting in trouble. So even though I loved writing and I would do it no matter where I was, I never felt like I could make a career out of it. I thought it was always going to be a hobby. And so when I got into, like, I got college age, I went to a little private college, local private college, and I majored in international business, not writing. But even though I majored in that, I ended up taking, I wouldn't say more, but around the same amount of creative writing classes. And while I was there, I wrote everything under the sun. I wrote poetry, prose. I even wrote, you know, fan fiction for anime. So I wrote everything I could get my hands on, and I started to write a novel just for my own. It wasn't even a novel, really. It was just a story that I just kept adding to, you know, just for my own gratification. And later on, that I decided to go back and revise that and make it a novel, and that's how we got Blessed, the Prodigal Daughter.
Seriously, when you say anime, I'm like, oh my gosh, Soul Sister, because I love anime. And I haven't watched it in a while because my writing schedule is so hectic. But I grew up on anime, and I love anime. Yeah. And I think I'm a little bit older than you. So I remember anime when it first hit the U.S. in the second wave. And I remember going, oh my gosh, I love this. Your eyes are so big. And when I was in school, I hung out with the geeks. And now geeks are cool now. But back in the day, they were geeks.
They
I hung with the geeks in the computer lab in school. And we were looking at manga. And at that time, again, I'm going to age myself here. At the time, Inuyasha had just came out. And it was the first time they actually had. Oh, yeah. That's the first time with Miko Takahashi. That was the first time they had the manga in English and in Japanese parallel at the same time. It came out in Japan first, and then it came out in the U.S. here. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And I actually got into some of the fan fiction, too, because my favorite character of that particular anime was Seishomaru. And I just love it. Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love Seishomaru, right?
Exactly.
But I'm probably getting too specific for our listeners, so I'm going to draw it back in.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I totally like that you like anime, too. So, yeah, me and my sisters, we all love anime. And it's more widespread now, but back in the day, like I said, only geeks here would look at it. That's what I got to say. And so I like the fact that you mentioned that you also wrote poem and prose. So you basically devoured the written word, and you devoured that because it was already fostered in you. And I want you to talk about that for a minute, because I honestly believe that family is extremely important in helping us to develop good writers. And so when you mean it was fostered in you, kind of go more into detail about what that means for you.
Well, like for instance, my parents always read to me from when I was like, I can't even remember how young. They would always read to me, and I had my first Bible, and they would read, you know, there are rocks in my socks, or the ox or the fox, and all these different things. And so they always were, you know, supportive of my love of literature. And then, of course, I had my mom. She would create stories for me. You know, she makes this joke about, you know, she created this story about a frog. And then when she tried to draw it out for us, because she was an artist, like we kind of cried because we're like, that's not him, you know. So, like, there was all these kind of things that would happen. They really fostered my creativity. And my mom, you know, just recently she put out a book under a pseudonym for children. And my great-grandmother, she actually was the first playwright and Black woman to you know, actually print a novel in South Carolina. So writing has always been a part of my life.
I like that, and I wanted you to definitely expand on that, because there are children growing up who want to be writers and parents who want to encourage that writing ability, and you are a perfect example of making sure that this is how you can do that, by always reading, being involved in the writing process with your kids, things of that nature. I usually have done for the past several years, I was with the Michigan Reading Association. And they have an award for the kids called Kaleidoscope. And the kids submit small little poetry, or they may submit little stories. And I would interview them for the podcast. And most of the people who were in that magazine were writers who were fostered by their parents. And so I definitely wanted you to say that. So if there's a parent out there who knows their kid can write, who's always into something, go ahead and do what you have to do to make that kid a writer, because that's what they want to do, you know.
Yes.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. And so we got Blessed here, and Blessed is an interesting story because it has a sci-fi feel to it. There's a little bit of Frankenstein going on as well, and it's just really interesting details going on. There's a supernatural, the paranormal, and there's a lot of philosophical thoughts about ethics, just a lot of stuff going on in this book. So we're going to peel back the veil on some of this, because we definitely don't want to spoil it for our listeners out there. And most of you who've been following for some time, you know I'm spoiler sensitive. So we're going to try to keep the spoilers to a minimum, and we're going to make sure that you go ahead and pick up your copy of Blessed, the Prodigal Daughter today. Amazon.com. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about Blessed, the Prodigal Daughter. Tell us as much as you can, what is this book all about?
For first, I guess to establish what it is, Blessed, the Prodigal Daughter is a supernatural thriller. It's the first installment in the Blessed series. And the second installment is actually called Blessed the Peacemaker, and it's coming out next year. But personally, I first want to talk about just the writing style, because it's actually important that you know how I like to write if you're going to read Blessed. And that is that I like to write novels with many perspectives. If you need like an idea to kind of put that like in your mind, think maybe Game of Thrones, the book, not the actual TV show, but just many perspectives. So in Blessed, you have So you have three subplots and a main plot. So you have the main plot with a young woman named Glory who wakes up in the hospital and she has amnesia. Now, it's not normal amnesia, and you kind of figuring out, you know, what makes it different, why she forgot, how she forgot. All of that is something you unravel during the story, throughout the story. While she's in the hospital, it kind of becomes obvious to her and to the staff that she's not like normal people. She heals faster. She has these abilities, and those abilities are actually spiraling out of control. So she leaves the hospital because there's only so much that they could actually do to her. So she embarks on this journey, and just to see like who she is and how she got the abilities that she has. Now, while she's on that trip, of course, what she doesn't know is that there are people looking for her. There's two organizations looking for her. So that's the main plot. There's also a subplot it takes place in the past, and it's about a group of scientists and their children. There's a subplot of the agents who are there to protect the children. And there's this thrilling subplot of a NYPD detective that kind of stumbles into all of this mess as he kind of unofficially investigates his partner, whom he does not like. So that's essentially what Blessed the Prodigal Daughter is. Now, all these storylines kind of give it an intentional, chaotic energy, but then towards the middle end, all of them merge together, and you get this kind of eureka moment.
With an ensemble cast like that, it's necessary to have those subplots all kind of working together. And then when they all, when you braid them together, you see it's like, aha. And you mentioned a good one was Game of Thrones. And I remember reading Game of Thrones when it came out back in the day. It's so funny because, again, I read that book before it became the hype that it is now. And it's like, you guys are so late. You guys are so late to the party, you know. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. And sometimes when you write like that, it just really gives you a well-balanced view of the story coming at it from so many different points of view. And that's, like I said, the ensemble cast, if you will, of a story. So I like the fact that it's all a nice mishmash, complex type of story. And as you read it, you kind of go like, okay, now I'm over here and now I'm over here. So what's going to happen? But I actually found a method to the madness, if you will, because I know that these are all going to connect, and they're going to connect eventually. And that's the exciting part. Like, how does her story match up with his story, match up with their story? And what does that have to do with this? You know? And so it's like these separate threads. And then when they go, like you say, you have that, aha, there's what it is. So then you kind of go like, oh my gosh, you know? So that's what it's all coming down to. So I like that you use that technique for your debut novel. And so you mentioned that there's going to be a second one in the series, so we'll talk about it a little bit later on in the podcast. So my next question has to do with the supernatural abilities, because there is talk about people being superhuman. And I'm reminded of the late Stan Lee's show, Superhuman, where they went out and sought different people who had what we would consider extraordinary abilities. One that I remember very vividly is a man who could literally run all day and not get tired. And the reason why is because he did not have a certain, I want to say, acid in his legs that would make him feel pain. So he could keep running because he didn't feel pain. Like if I overwork myself too hard, I think they said acid or something builds up in the muscles that lets me, okay, stop, we're sore. But he didn't have that. And so he could run all day long and not feel tired, you know. And I was thinking, like, I wonder, did you get that idea from that? So when you were talking about these superhuman abilities that these people have, is it from watching, you know, Marvel action movies? Is it from things of that nature? Where did that seed or kernel come from?
Actually, that's quite interesting because at the time I wasn't into Marvel that much. I could not really afford to go get all of the comic books. But actually I have a love of Marvel now, but not so much at the time. But I do know that there were superheroes. Like I had seen something like X-Men. I used to watch X-Men, the old X-Men. But like, and now that you're thinking about it, maybe in some kind of subconscious, but at the time, what I was thinking was, you know, we have so many you know, I don't like superhuman people or whatever, you know, you get it from anime, you get it from so many places, but you don't see anybody having like a supernatural ability through like a spiritual side, you know, like they get it through their spiritual side. So like, in other words, and this is going to be kind of hard to explain what I'm kind of thinking about here, but like, we know that we have a spirit that, you know, in addition to being a physical being, we are also a spiritual being. But we don't ever see anyone talk about how, you know, that spiritual being, that spiritual part of us could actually lend itself to supernatural abilities. Do you understand? Do you get what I mean? Like, so I think when I was writing it originally, that's what I was thinking about. Like, you know, if we weren't, I'm trying not to also get into spoilers too, but like, if we weren't tied to just the physical, if it wasn't necessarily a fallen world, if we were as God actually wanted us to be from the very beginning, you know, what would those abilities look like? You know, that kind of thing is what fueled Blessed a little bit more than, say, like a superhero movie.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because a lot of superhero movies, they often talk about how superhero usually only has one power, one strength, or they may have a couple of abilities, and it's difficult being a superhero. And this was seen a lot in Spider-Man. You know, it's difficult being Spider-Man because he has to go to school and he has to take, you know, he has a crush, all this other kind of stuff. I know they changed it recently. I'm not really a huge comic book person. I may watch the movie, but even then, they kind of all are the same now, so I don't even watch those anymore. It's like, I know how this is going to start off, you know, but I get what you mean. It's just like, we are so focused on the material personification of our abilities, not the spiritual, and what would that look like in a perfect world where man had not fallen with those abilities? And that is something, particularly on the fringe in the Christianity, that they talk about a lot, is, you know, what did what were we before the fall, and how did it look like? So it's a really interesting realm of Christian speculative fiction that I think some authors go into. They have to be careful because no one wants to be heretical, you know, but that gray area of understanding, that gray area of, you know, what if we could tap into those powers like that? What if I had the ability to do X, Y, and Z? And I think I've mentioned this on the show before too, you know how when someone enters your space and you clench up because they're not invited in, and it's interesting how it's all part of a, it's not something you automatically do. When someone enters your space, you feel it, and they're not touching you, but they're in your space. A friend of mine said it was the electromagnetic field that we all have, or something like that, he said. But I was thinking, what if that's a remnant of something more, that remnant of someone being in your space, being next to you? And, you know, it's just fascinating, you know. And I think about Adam and Eve and how they lost their glory. And what is that, the remnant of glory that we have? You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of interesting.
We don't know what we were like, but I don't think that there is anything truly wrong with speculating about what it would look like. Again, as long as you stay within the realm of not being heretical. So
I totally feel you there. Totally feel you there. So that's the fun part about writing Christian speculative fiction, is sometimes you go into those areas that are just gray, and it's okay because it's a gray area. You're not gonna, you know, like I say, you're not changing the nature of God, you're not changing the nature of man or anything. You're just thinking about it, you know. So that's what this book, Bless the Prodigal Daughter, does for our readers out there. It takes a really speculative edge about ourselves and really expands it on it in a different way. So what I want you to do is go ahead and pick up your copy of Bless the Prodigal Daughter today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And if you want to weigh in on our conversation, you're more than happy to by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to a special edition of The Right Stuff with my guest co-host and contributor today, A.L. Bryant. She is the author of the debut novel, Blessed, The Prodigal Daughter, a Christian supernatural suspense thriller. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And I have to tell you, we've been having a wonderful time talking to each other. It's really cool to meet someone who has similar interests like you do, and then just have it kind of merge all together. So I feel like I've met my soul sister for real. Like, I have a camaraderie with all my authors, but I really feel like I met my soul sister here. So AL, thank you again for taking time out of your schedule to be here with me and to talk about your debut novel, Blessed, The Prodigal Daughter. And as you're going through the story, you, like I said, you have an ensemble cast. You have a nice wide variety of cast here. And so in that, you know, writing is like your baby. Your book is your baby. And so your characters are your babies too. So who's the character as you go through this ensemble that you hate to love? Who's the one you love to hate? Who's the one you think actually may mirror your own self? I think we all have ourselves in our way. So go ahead, tell us about these characters here.
I will say, surprisingly, I don't really think I'm close to it. They're not really my personality, any of them really. If I had to choose one, I guess Glory herself would be close to me, but other than that, I'm surprised, honestly, that they all just were like completely opposite of what I am. But if I were to talk about someone that that I love to hate, there is a person in this, his name is General Townsend, and he's not really featured in a huge way in Blessed, The Prodigal Daughter. He is featured, and you look at him and the way he is, and you really dislike him. He's not a likable person. But he gets fleshed out a lot more in the second one. So I even, now going back and reading it, I even love to hate him more in the first one. So that's basically who I would say. If you talk about the person that I am intrigued by the most, the character I'm intrigued by the most, it would have to be Dennis, Detective Dennis. I love his storylines. I feel bad as a writer because I feel like I do a lot to him, you know. So, but I do actually really like his character. So, yeah, I think those are the standouts for me. I would say Detective Dennis because I just love his character. I love his story. The person I couldn't stand, but I understand a little bit more, is General Townsend for sure.
And then all writers, and I know you agree with me, we tend to have a God complex with our characters. And I say that lightly, but it's very true, because we put these characters through so much stuff and we're happy. You know, we're like, we're going to make sure that this horrible thing happens. And of course, there's that joke and meme that goes about, you know, authors looking up, you know, guns, how to poison someone, how to kill someone, how long does it take for someone to die.
I always say, please don't look at my search history.
Yeah, please don't, because you think I'm an axe murderer. You know, I got the body down in the basement somewhere. And you're like, no, this is for, you know. And then the one meme I saw recently was like, see, they like had like an FBI thing, you know, she's looking up this, this, and this. They said, oh, it's another writer, because they said, what's a synonym for something, you know? And so I said, yeah, for
exactly.
Sure. And I think that's just the God complex we have in us, you know, and because we are creatives. And I mentioned this on the show a few weeks ago, you know, with one of my guests, Alan Arnold. You know, God, when he introduced himself in the Bible, is as creator. And it's fascinating that we get the opportunity to use the talent that he gave us to create as well. And so it's definitely in us for that. And so there's some themes that you discussed in Bless the Prodigal Daughter. Lots of themes you discuss here. So what are some of the themes that you delve into that our readers are going to pick up once they pick up their copy of Blessed?
Blessed actually has a lot of lessons, a lot of themes. Like, for instance, resentment and anger for seeing the world reward, you know, people, bad people and bad behavior, for example. In fact, Glory herself is modeled after the Beatitudes. So the Beatitude of, you know, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So for her, one of the biggest struggles is seeing, you know, bad people or bad behavior and not being able to handle it. But if I had to choose a major theme in this book, I don't know if people will pick up on it so much, but it's a big thing for me, is power. I'm just going to go off on a little tangent here, but I firmly believe that our current media does not shy away from Christians, from showing Christians on TV shows, movies, books, et cetera. They have no problem actually showing Christianity. The problem they have is showing Christianity in a positive light. You know, as long as they're showing a woman, you know, tearfully saying the Lord's Prayer, she's about to be murdered, or a serial killer who quotes scripture, or an adulterous preacher, they're fine. But showing a compassionate, bold, brave Christian who is grounded in their faith in God is practically unheard of. So the main theme I want to show in this novel, and truly across my whole body of work, is that even in vulnerability, there is a strength that God gives us. You know, in this particular book, in Blessed the Prodigal Daughter, we have a main character who has been away from God, but I wanted to show that God has never left her, and I want to show that because she knew God on a deep level, she still can tap into the strength that he gives her, and that kind of lends a boldness to her every encounter, you know? So my main theme would be power.
That's an important part of the conversation, though, and I'm really glad that you mentioned about how the media wants to depict Christianity, and that is quite right. You're quite right. If they were to actually show a strong Christian person, well, that would go against everything that they stand for. That's one of the reasons why I'm not real big on watching a lot of media, because if they have a scandal, they'll be the first one to show it up there. But if they go, oh, well, X, Y, and Z, oh, well, we don't want to talk about that. You know, who wants to hear that kind of stuff? You know, no one wants to hear that. So I definitely understand understand what you mean by that. And the prodigal son, in general, that story, it's so pivotal. I know you got the prodigal daughter here, but it's so pivotal because you have to understand that the prodigal son went off to do wrong because he wanted to. He knew what he wanted to do. And in the context of scripture, it was unheard of for you to want, things like, Daddy, just die, give me my stuff, and I'm going to do my thing. That's basically what he was saying to his father, you know. And then the Lord brings him back home. And I want to definitely read what you said about how evil people seem to prosper. And I have to go to Psalms 37, and I'll read from KJV, because I'm a KJV lover, not a KJV onlyer. And it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And I use those two verses because sometimes it seems as if wickedness is gaining a foothold, and it may gain a foothold, but we know that ultimately evil will be destroyed. And that's something we can gain a lot of comfort in. And that's also in tangent with your thoughts about power. about having power, and that power comes from the Lord. And so I like that you are mixing all these various themes into the story, and you're dealing with someone who may have been away from the Lord, but he's never forgotten her. And that's what the prodigal son, that whole story represents, because when the prodigal son came back in the scripture, the dad was looking for him. He was out there looking for him. And who knows how long he was gone. He could have been gone a week. He could have been gone a day, a couple of years. Who knows? And daddy is still watching, still looking down the road for you, you know. And it just feels like a chill down your spine. Lets you know that God is still waiting for you to come home. Do you know that song,
AL?
There's a song I heard, oh gosh, I can't remember it now. It was a song that talks about that. And it was just it's a beautiful song. Of course, by the time you listen, like crying your eyes out, you know. And so, yeah, I definitely like the fact that you really incorporated those themes in there.
Go ahead.
What were we going to say?
I was going to say, just out of curiosity, was it a song by, you know, Fred Heyman, I think it is?
Not Fred Hammond.
Okay.
No, it's not Fred Hammond. It's by the young lady. I cannot think of her name. It is literally laughing at me because I know I want to grab it, and the idea is laughing at me. So totally, we'll get to it. But and so in Prodigal Daughter, I like the fact you did like a little gender thing, but it lets us know that it's all of us. We can all come back to the Lord. You know, we're all stray away. I like the fact you did that. Mm-hmm. And so I got to talk about this cover real quickly, because this cover, like I said, is killer. So was this someone that you hired? Was this something the publisher hired? Someone you sought out? Like, how did you say this is it? Because that looks custom. The cover looks like it's a custom design cover. But tell me about that.
Yes, I'm very happy about the cover. I wish I had her information right in front of me. I hate not being able to plug it. But it was a independent graphic designer who chose it. And I knew from the very beginning, I don't know how I knew, but I knew what I wanted the book to look like. And, you know, a lot of people told me basically they weren't sure it could happen and all kind of stuff, but I really wanted it to look the way it did. And I came to her, and she worked with me, you know, a lot, and it turned out phenomenal, and I was just really happy. So, yes, I actually contacted her, and it was an independent graphic designer who did it for me. And if I could, I would tell you the name.
Oh, I know how it is. Sometimes you're like, oh, my gosh, I forgot to get that. I totally understand, y'all. Totally get it. And so, but I love the cover. It really draws you in. And I showed it to my sister. She was like, ooh, I like that. You know, she did, my sister. She was like, I like that. I said, I know, right? Because I always talk to her about the show. And we were talking about it, you know. Another thing that I want to discuss really quickly is that nowadays people are really calling for more diverse fiction. And in this area of fiction is having a more diverse fiction and Christian fiction particularly. And I noticed that you have a nice, diverse cast here. Was that something that you deliberately did? Was that something that just the story naturally called for these characters? Tell us a little about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. As far as, like, ethnicity, you mean?
Yeah, when it comes to ethnicity, because you got different ethnic groups represented here. Mm-hmm.
That was a very deliberate thing. I actually remember being in one of my classes in college, and they were like, just write a story, any story. And I started writing my story, and it was actually about a black, not a fairy, but I forgot what he was exactly. And when we stopped the exercise, when they finally stopped the exercise, they're like, now we just want to show you, like, you know, basically, you know, that everybody wrote about a white character. Now, there's nothing wrong, and I have white characters in here as well, but there's nothing wrong with that. But it just kind of was very shocking because I really was the only one who had a character with a different ethnicity, even though there were several different types of people in my class. So in a way, it is quite deliberate. You know, I do want to show and I did want to kind of showcase that as well, because I personally think, and this could be totally wrong, but when most people do read a story, if it's not specified, a lot of times they do default to a certain, a certain type of person. So I did want to show that there was a huge diversity here, and I wanted to make sure that everybody was done justice. So.
And that's important. I know I get requests from different author friends of mine, and I say you just don't want to write from a place of ignorance. If you want to have all Black people in your story, that's fine. It's your story. Do what you want. But if you do mm-hmm. want to have that multi-ethnic diversity in your book, just make sure you don't come from a place of ignorance. Like when I wrote my Chinese story I wrote last year, I did a ton of research. Tons of research, AL, and I reached out to my Chinese friends. I reached out to people. I mean, I just reached out to people like, hey, I need help, you know. So that's definitely what it always encourage people. If that's what you want to do, do it. Ask questions. You'd be surprised how many people are willing to help you get better at depicting a particular ethnic group in the correct light. They're willing to help you because it's
very
necessary. And so I just wanted to add that in there in our conversation. What we're going to do is take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear an excerpt from Bless the Prodigal Daughter. And you still have an opportunity to call in and weigh in on our conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485 and press that one. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work, but what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with Identity Theft Protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all 3 credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to a special edition of The Right Stuff with the Queen, Parker J. I'm having the most fabulous time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, A.L. Bryant. She is the author of the debut novel, Bless the Prodigal Daughter. It's a Christian thriller, supernatural suspense novel that I know you are going to sink your teeth into. Like I said earlier in the broadcast, even though this is her debut novel, it does not read like one. Her wordsmith skills are solid, and it's exciting because I get to see her get better with each book, and they're already really good skills here. So I want to give to AL for just giving us a dynamic book. I've been reading it today. We've been discussing it as well. Lots of good stuff that you can just sink your teeth into. So make sure you go ahead and go to Amazon and pick up your copy of Bless the Prodigal Daughter today. And AL, once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here with me to showcase your book. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to mute myself, and then I want you to just go ahead and set up the part that you're about to read to us, and then go ahead and take it over from there, okay?
Yeah, sure. You want me to go ahead and give you, like, the background of it, and then go ahead and
read
the
background? Yeah, just set up that particular scene. Yeah, set it up and go from there, okay?
Okay. Okay, so in this scene, Detective Dennis has arrived at a murder crime scene, and he is basically putting 2 and 2 together. He has an idea of who the woman, you know, that he is seeing, you know, he has an idea of who she is, and he's basically just trying to get all the evidence he can away from the scene. Here we go. Dennis took out his phone. Hey, I got something I need your help on. It's work-related, so you know the deal. Strictly confidential. I have reason to believe a suspect of mine was injured a few weeks ago. I'm going to send you my location. I need you to call all the hospitals within a 50-mile radius and see if they admitted a tall Native American woman. I appreciate the help. He was walking while he talked, and by the time he hung up, he stood in front of the bush. Dennis knelt and examined the foliage. It wasn't really a bush as much as a large weed growing between the cracks of the bricks. Pulling it away from the wall, Dennis revealed a metal corner. Pulling it even further down, almost kneeling on it, revealed a briefcase. He didn't know what it contained, but a briefcase usually made for the best evidence. Putting his phone back in his pocket, he retrieved a handkerchief and laid it across the handle. About to pull the case from its location, Dennis paused as a ripple at, Dennis paused at the ripple of conversation behind him and the sound of the car door being slammed shut. Glancing over his shoulder, his hand still on the evidence, he caught a glimpse of white strands lightly swaying against leather-encased shoulders and promptly froze. Dennis suppressed a groan and tried to ignore the chills that ran down his spine and raised his skin. The woman would make him break out in hives one day. He was certain of it. His precinct envied Dennis for two reasons: his uncanny ability to solve the toughest cases in the first 48 hours and his beautiful partner, Melinda. He preferred to keep his reputation for speedy discoveries, but he would trade his partner for the most incompetent beat cop in the space of a millisecond. His instincts told him to run as fast and as far from this woman as was humanly possible. She was evil, and no one could convince him otherwise. He would rather have a demented serial killer watch his back. Dennis shoved the briefcase back into its hiding space, making sure to cover it completely with the weed, all while keeping his eye on his partner. Tucking the handkerchief back in his pocket, he moved slowly in her direction.
And that is an excerpt from Bless the Prodigal Daughter, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I like how you use that particular excerpt in the story because you kind of go like, OMG, who is this person? So I like how you just really bring that depth into this book. And like I said, your wordsmith skills are phenomenal. And I don't have to just say that just because, oh, she's on my show. No, they really are phenomenal. And I'm really excited that you are here with me today to let me showcase it to our listeners out there. And so you mentioned that the second book in the series is coming out. Go ahead and tell us, are we going to continue to follow some of the same characters that we have in book one to book two, or is it going to be a total trip completely, a different trip rather completely?
It's going to be a mixture, actually. So you're still going to see the same people from the first book. And I actually don't want to say it's a mixture. Actually, I will say pretty much everyone that's in the first book is going to be in the second book. The difference is that some of them are going to have a more prominent a position. In fact, so if we weren't talking about the main character is going to switch. It's not going to be Glory, but she will feature in the book.
That's wonderful to know. So we can also get our teeth into that one, because I can tell it's going to be a really good series, because you're going to take it somewhere that we're going to be like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? And so it's going to be that just edge of your seat excitement. So really excited to get that. And let me know when you have that up and available, then we'll have you back on the show to highlight that. So as we get ready to end our show today, I've really had such a wonderful time talking to you today, AL, and just really digging into who you are as a person, your philosophy, everything about it. So if people want to get in contact with you, where can they find you online?
Okay, so I do have a Facebook page, and it's under my name, A.L. Bryant, and I also am on Twitter. Those are my main social media. I haven't gotten into all the different ones just yet. I'm still trying to figure out the Twitter and the Facebook. So if you want to see me at Twitter, it's just at A.L. Bryant, HSW. That's Henry Sherman Wilson. So you got the you could just hit me up there. I'm always answering my tweets. I'm always answering my Facebook's messages. So feel free to contact me.
And don't feel bad for not understanding social media. It is a beast beyond a shadow of a doubt. And marketing for authors is even worse. But we see it as an opportunity to get out of our comfort zone, because we're really comfortable telling the story, but we're uncomfortable telling other people about the story. And so it's getting out of our comfort zone. And I remember one author told me, Parker, can the book just talk for me? And I said, it can, but then no one else will read it. So I said, you have to get out there and market. And that's a beast, but it's an opportunity and a challenge for us to overcome. So as authors, as we get better at this thing called writing, we definitely don't want to stop at the writing. We want to make sure we market as well. So, AL, I want to thank you again for being with me on the show. In the few moments that we have left, this show is all about encouraging writers whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so. So in the few moments that we have left, why don't you encourage our aspiring authors out there today?
Sure. One thing I definitely want to say is, you know, your story has a reader. You know what I mean? Your story should be told. So don't get discouraged. Writing a book is not easy. As we just heard, you know, marketing a book is even more not easy. But it's important for you to get your story out there and continue to write and you know, continue to improve your craft. And trust me, every time you're writing, you're improving your craft. So don't get discouraged if you feel like you hit a roadblock. Just keep going. You know, try to self-publish if you want to do it that way. I mean, a lot of people don't know how to start, so just start is basically what I would say.
AL, thank you so very much for being with me on the show today, and I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
I can't wait to be back. It was really a pleasure.
And we were talking today to A.L. Bryant. She is the author of the book, Bless the Prodigal Daughter. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. What really resonated with me, that's something that A.L. said, is the fact that she said the media is comfortable with depicting Christianity, but just not in the positive light. If they could show Christianity as a poor woman saying the Lord's Prayer right before she gets her head chopped off, or if they can show an adulterous preacher or some kind of scandal, the media is quite comfortable with showing Christianity in that light. But I would challenge you, my Christian author friend out there, we want to give fiction to God that shows Christianity in its real light, that we are sinners saved by grace who depend on the power of God for living in all aspects of our life, that because he died for our sins, we are welcome into the family once we accept his gift of salvation. That is the message of the gospel. It's about rules. It's about relationship. So I challenge you, just like A.L. said, the story that God has for you has to be told, and you are the one to tell it. So are you going to pick up the pen and write stuff? Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the Queen Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.